here. So we're really, really delighted to have him in the office. He's going to be relieving Susie at your caucuses and your meetings in the future. She'll be around for a while, but since
no one can do that.
Thank you, Red.
But she'll be here when you need her, and so will I, whenever we have to be here. But I did want to introduce you to him. If you've got any questions or you need any help, he's here. Okay.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You have any problems? Don't come to me. All right. Also, we have our new financial expert, Ken, right?
Don.
I'm sorry. And Fawn will introduce him, a little background.
Yep. Oh, I don't know if I know a lot of Don's background, but I know he worked for as an intern for a while for our comptroller. So he's not new to the county. He knows enough to be dangerous. So we're really happy to have him on board. He's been a great guy to have in the office, and I'm sure you'll all enjoy working with him.
And if you have any problems, you can come to me, though.
All right.
All right. No more formal introductions. Then we have to do some work here. We have Resolution 156.
Do your minutes.
I'm sorry. What? Call the meeting. Do you approve the minutes of 4:09 and 4:15?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second. Discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sure.
Resolutions May 20th and Mary Beth are here. Just to know, John, you're no longer needed. Resolution 156, confirming the appointment of Kelly McMullen as Director of the Office of Aging.
I'm over.
I'll second.
Second. Discussion? No discussion. Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
157, calling on Ulster County Senate and Assembly delegation to introduce and ensure its passage of state legislation to require the state to take over the total expenses associated with conducting elections.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a couple comments about this resolution.
We need it moved.
I'll move back in. That's how I was nudging you.
Okay. All right, so we got a first and a second. Now we can have discussion. I was surprised and quite happy when I received this email about NYSAC commemorating the month of May with the May Day for Mandate Relief Campaign. And it's exactly what I spoke to Legislator Ronk about, was that the reason for this resolution, and they say it better than I can, raise awareness that county budgets are dominated by mandated programs and services required by the state of New York. And then they go on, they had really asked for all counties to do their own resolution, but it was late when we got there, so I didn't bother putting one in. But they said the message is simple. Counties can freeze or even lower our property taxes if the state takes more fiscal responsibility of the programs and services they create and expand in our deliberation at the state capitol. So I know there were some legislators weren't too happy to see another memorializing resolution, but I stand firm on it. These are two actually quite small ones compared to what the state obligates us to do, and that's the safety net and election costs. I know that there was efforts in the past for the county to take over the cost of elections. In fact, that was one of the demands that Assemblyman Cahill was making the last time we did our sales tax extension. And I think it's important to point out that whether it's a town or a county, it's the same pocket. It's the same taxpayer's pocket. That's why it's important that the state really pay some attention, particularly this budget that they just passed, because if the county doesn't keep their property tax at the 2% level, property tax pays, somebody's chewing.
Sorry.
our property taxpayers will not enjoy the rebate check. And I tell you, I don't want to stand here and have people call me. You know, and say, why did you do this to us? So I'm trying to make an effort in a very small way to point out these mandated programs that are constantly sent down our way. And also, if you read, which I sent a copy to Vicki, under the fiscal implications, the sponsors of this bill for the Assembly and a center, and there's many, it seems pretty clear that they said it allows for counties which are currently consolidated continue their existing structure and expense apportionment, and allows newly consolidated counties, which is we were at the time, that those portion those expenses back to the towns and villages which were previously paying for such expense anyway. But they add, as the state loves to do, you know, another three words in there. Actually, I'll take that back, five words. Unless a county elects otherwise. You know, so they're pretty clever the way they do things at state level. And I'm hoping that I have support of my colleagues for this. I have asked Vicki to send it to all legislators on both sides of the aisle. And I don't know that anybody signed up with me, but, you know, I'd love to have as much support as possible.
Hector?
Thank you. That was very well said, Legislator Provenzano. And I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Janelle, let me just, since there is the Association of Counties came up with that proposal, why don't we just memorialize what they're doing in conjunction?
Well, they're not those specific to any one mandate. And we've done many times.
We
you
have
know
done
that.
Many
we've
times,
done
of, you know, memorialized resolutions of various things. And, you know, you can go on and on which ones we attacked, but I mean, I don't think we really want to sit here and say this one's better than that one, or basically if we just get, you know, we get any kind of relief, it's a blessing to the taxpayers of Ulster County and to us, and of any mandates.
I know, but this one is like pennies to the state.
No.
Pennies.
They're all pennies, you know, and that kind of knowledge.
Pennies.
Hector?
Thank you. You know, the one thing that does make it relevant is that this, and I think, let's say Provenzano, I think, touched on this, is that this did come up during the course of the sort of great debate, right, with regards to the sales tax extension. So I think that it's entirely appropriate that we want to take that off the table, you know. Quite honestly, we originally had a set idea of what we needed to do in order to get our sales tax, and then all of a sudden this was sort of thrown into the mix as sort of a moving of the goalpost, if you will. Eventually that demand was dropped, but quite honestly, I think we should take it off the table, and I think this is the way to do it.
Well, and it could come back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wonder, though, you know, how would this work? Would we submit our election costs to the state, and then the next budget year we would get a refund? Or, you know, I mean, because how are we going to actually let them know what it costs? It seems to me that it's going to be a year later that we're going to get the money. I know it's a memorializing resolution, but then if we're asking the state to take over our election costs, okay, what else are they going to want? Because the elections are a home rule thing. It's Ulster counties. It's through the, you know, Board of Elections.
We're mandated by the state. We have nothing to say with elections, Carl. Everything is mandated by the state. Your commissioners, your employees, everything. The county has nothing to do with the Board of Elections.
But I'm
just
saying,
that's not true,
you
know.
No,
we have the option to set the timing, the time, how many polling places. So there, we do have some different options or liberties regarding the cost.
The legislature?
We can set times, correct?
Very rarely on
the times of the elections?
Very rarely. The Board of Elections might give you the courtesy of, you know, reaching out to a town if they're changing, or the city if they're changing polling districts, but they have the final say.
Right.
The state mandates everything we do on the Board of Elections.
Okay.
You know.
It's funny, hearing the conversation, this is like a deja vu for me all over again. I remember back in 2005 when this law was enacted in Albany. I worked in Albany. I represented all the counties in the state capitol. I remember lobbying against this law as a new unfunded mandate against counties. And the sponsors of the law at that time had said, well, it really isn't an unfunded mandate because we expect you're going to charge these costs back to the county. That's what they built into the law. And I remember back then, if you looked at counties across the state, there were only about 8 counties that charged back any election costs to their towns and their villages. Since that time, practically every county now charges back their election cost to the towns and villages. What's really unique, and you like compare like an Ulster to a Dutchess, here in Ulster County, the county legislature decided only to apportion back those costs that were an increase after 2005. So you're really only charging back about $600,000 a year, which is the HAVA component, which was the new piece. Other counties, like Dutchess County, charge back the whole cost of elections. The whole shooting match gets charged back, and it, you know, Jeanette had mentioned, and Hector had mentioned that, you know, this was a point of contention that somehow, you know, geez, Ulster County, you know, screwing the towns, that, you know, thing. But honestly, the law was passed on the whole premise that the towns used to have this expense in their budget, so we're just going to charge it back. And again, I think it was good public policy that Ulster County followed at the time, is you didn't take that option, which was to charge back the whole cost. You only charge back that incremental new cost from this new mandate, and compare that to a Dutchess that charges back the whole shooting match to their towns and villages. So again, I think it's certainly a very relevant conversation and one to talk about. And I know that counties across the state are really struggling with the property tax cap and dealing with state mandates. And this is just one more unfunded mandate where they pass a law and they give the impression that there's no impact. We all know that there was a tremendous impact from the HAVA law when it was passed in 2005.
Well, and if I might just add, let me repeat again. The reason I brought this up is because I'm pretty confident it's going to come up again for the county to take over this cost from the towns. And I think it's pretty difficult for most legislators, if you represent somebody and you're going to vote no. It's a difficult situation. So I'm trying to bring some attention to it so people know the extent. I would love that we could be successful. I don't know. We haven't really had any help from the state representatives and all these county mandates that we have, and they just keep coming down. You know, the biggest one is the one they just passed. You know, to keep it at 2% cap, and your property taxpayers will get a rebate check. If you don't, who do you think they're going to start yelling at? Your state representative? No. So I'm bringing it up because it is an issue. It was an issue last year. It was raised by the assemblyman. It was raised by our chairman of the legislature, and I think it's going to come up again. So, you know, be that as it may.
Well, I did address it with our assembly person at the time that, this coming year, you know, don't give us any kind of new conditions on passing a sales tax. And, you know, I did mention
it specifically. Did you get that in writing?
I don't have anything in writing. Nobody wants to put anything in writing anymore.
Well,
but
whatever. Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye. Jeanette, I might be an aye next week, but right now I just got to think about a couple things. So I'm going to reserve my vote till next week, right?
You know, in theory, I love the idea of having that extra $720,000 in the budget because of the 2% tax caps and because of all the unfunded mandates. I don't know what's going to happen. A tug of war between sales tax and election costs. I like the idea, but I might do the same thing as Rich. I'm going to reserve till next week, so I'm not going to be a no.
Jeanette, I just was told by Erica, if we vote negative. If I don't vote, me personally.
Yeah, you have to have majority.
Unless we have John to this table.
John's still here?
We can just keep
going. Jeanette, can you hold it till next week? Hold it next week?
Sure.
All right.
We'll discuss it. We'll discuss it next week.
Just make a motion to hold it the next week.
Okay.
All right?
I'll withdraw mine.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
That was moved by Rodriguez and seconded by...
Thank you, Aaron.
To hold it?
Yep.
Who's right. The second?
You can make it Provenzano and Rodriguez.
Passed unanimously. 158, authorized distribution mortgage tax pursuant to Section 261. Moved?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
159.
Oh, wait. Oh, we'll sorry.
What's that?
Eight. Nope. Okay. We'll make sure I was on the same page. Oops. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Senate Public Hearing, Local Law 3, amending Administrative Code for Ulster County, State of New York, require cost-benefit analysis as part of financial impact of resolution approving the execution of private contract and private contract amendments in excess of $50,000 entered by the county for public service to be held June 17, Tuesday at 2:14 at 7 p.m. Moved by...
I'll move it for discussion.
Tracy, second?
Second.
Mary Beth? Discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about... Can... Is the chairman here?
Where'd he go? He's gone.
I don't understand what we're looking for here.
Well, in essence...
Oh, he's still here. Sorry.
In essence, it's really... not much more than informing the legislators and the public about why we're doing something, showing us probably work that's already been done, to say this is a good idea and here's the data. Here are the facts and figures. Right now, many times, we may or may not know. That's basically all it is.
Bert, when you have contracts or Sue, Ken, whoever, do you guys do some kind of analysis of some type that's in your own office or to demonstrate that you're doing something?
What I'll say, I mean, this is a very, very broadly worded proposal that, put it, if the legislature were to adopt this, we'd have to ask you to prepare that you add quite a few new staff to the administration to execute this. We come to meetings, we're prepared with facts and figures to answer any question that Ways and Means has or any other committee, legislator in any other committee has. But again, this goes into just a level of detail that, again, so many of these contracts that, again, every from my read of this, every contract over $50,000 would potentially be dealt with here. You know, there were some major proposals last year where we did some restructuring. We did some very unique public-private partnerships. In all honesty, we did a large transaction with the Department of Mental Health that involved the union, had a lot of detail. I spent a year and a half preparing for it. I was asked no questions at the Ways and Means Committee. So we're prepared to answer a lot of questions. But again, a lot of it, we presented the information, we provided it to the committee, but to do a special, separate analysis for every contract, I don't know how we'd be able to even get our arms around that kind of request by the legislature.
Sue?
I just have a question from a contract standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's meant by private contract. All government contracts are public, so I don't understand that distinction.
Where's that? What section?
I'm just reading this summary. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand what that's meant by that.
It's in the title.
At the last count, I recall, we had over 5,000 contracts. So the question is, I mentioned it to Kathy earlier, is that every single contract, and you seem to indicate it isn't. It's worded that way.
What I'm reading now, it says, resolutions approving the execution of private contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for public services.
Where are you reading?
I'm reading in the bold second. On page 2
of the proposed law.
Section 2, page 2, in the bold.
Oh.
What? Can I just follow on that question? Like, what's a private contract? For example, in this month's resolutions, we have a bunch where we're approving contracts over $50,000. Resolution 161 is with independent home care, so I'm assuming that's private contract, or by this definition, because Ben Van Hoefer is a private company, if we're executing a contract with the state, New York State Housing Trust Fund, is that a private contract? Like, for example, Resolution 165.
Hold on. No, I don't think it's a private contract.
So is a private contract?
I think it's every contract.
Mm-hmm. Was a private contract just a contract with a private company?
Any contract in which the legislature of the county is involved is by nature a public contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because the county is public. So we're the people. So I think if it's going to be worded, it probably... The word private should
that's
be rejected.
That's clearly not the intent.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm
yeah, but then it should be rewritten.
Understood. But I think the broad stroke is that's clearly not the intent. I think the intent is very clear, and I think the point that it's every contract is just it may look like that at the first reading, but it certainly wasn't the intent. I don't think anybody intended for every single contract of $50,000 or more to come through and have a fairly complicated cost-benefit analysis. I think the interesting point is, the question from reading it fairly carefully is, wouldn't that work have been done anyway? Isn't there a cost-benefit analysis? Let's take an example, I think Ken, you said, maybe Golden Hill as an example.
Mm-hmm.
One would think that work is already done, and we want something a little more formal as a body than somebody coming in and talking about something. I think what Chairman is looking for is something a little more formal than that if we're going to make a major change going private mental health, the infirmary, the sheriff's department, anything like that. We probably want something more than somebody coming in and saying, this is what it's about, et cetera, et cetera. I think a cost-benefit analysis is what you guys would hope have already done.
Well, I guess I would read this as, that's not what this says. I mean, I read this as every contract over 50. For example, Tracy mentioned this contract with independent home care. In my mind, that would be included in this proposal. And the county doesn't provide that service, so we have to do an analysis. Well, you know, do we contract with the state-approved vendor at the state rates, or... Mm-hmm. Do we go out and hire, you know, 15 home care agent, you know, workers and the cost? I mean, again, it's a tremendous amount of work for no benefit to the county.
John?
You know, the administration already requires due diligence on their part. Well, we're just looking for you show us the analysis. I don't think it's a very big deal at all. Anytime they make decisions based on money and hiring or firing or contract, there's got to be some analysis made. There are times when things change, but you know, maybe a contract started out well and it didn't turn out well. We don't know what you promised. We don't know what is supposed to happen. And anywhere in the world, if you were spending your own money, you'd do this for yourself. I think we got to do it for the public. The public deserves the right to know exactly what you're projecting and what you're expecting and what the results are anticipated. No more guesswork.
Carl?
Well, I was thinking about the example of Golden Hill and looking at Bert's letter that he gave us. And that the fact of the matter is that even though I think, I don't remember the figure, the last year's figure that we were going to subsidize Golden Hill, but I think it was over $4 million. So I was under the impression as a legislator, even though I didn't vote for the plan, that we were going to save $4 million. And then I read in this here that we're actually minus 1% of our anticipated fund balance that would have been added from, you know, from Golden Hill between the IGT transfers and everything else. So that would have been a little bit beneficial because on the other end of it, there's a lot of different things. You mentioned, you know, the impact on social services. Well, we took Golden Hill off the books. On this side of the budget, But we added extra Medicaid money that we have to pay the state because now they're a private institution. And instead of giving them that $4 million, I think the figures that I saw for 2014 was $38 million, and it was $31 million in like 2010 that social services budget paid.
Yeah, so that's completely inaccurate and wrong.
Yeah, John.
Listen, the question right now is,
you gave me
let's
the
have
fingers.
A public hearing and sort this stuff out.
I'm just saying.
Right, hold on, John.
I'll correct it if you want, but what you said was totally wrong.
All right. Okay. Hold on. Hector?
Thank you.
Tracy?
Well, my suggestion actually is, number one, we have some language things that clearly need to be corrected in here. And in addition, this hasn't gone through any other committee other than right now being talked about here, and apparently, I guess, government services, I guess at some point it's supposed to go through as well. I'd probably be more inclined at this point to hold off on this before we proceed any further to make sure that, number one, we've got the language right in here to actually know what it is we're actually putting a public hearing on, and number two, to make sure that we've actually had the discussion in the other committees.
Crazy.
So, if you'd like, I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Well, let's talk about something a little bit more, then if you'd like to. All right.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing from John and from Cappy, I mean, I like the idea of some defined cost-benefit analysis for a defined set of criteria. I think what exists right now, and I hear Ken Cornell as well, what exists right now is a little broad, and it's a little confusing to me, just even hearing that example that I, you know, raised just because it's on the page of 161 independent home care. I mean, the question is, would we have to analyze something that we've already been doing? If it's something that we could be providing, but we're not providing, would we have to tell us? Would we have to be told that? Are you answering?
Yeah, I can answer. Yeah, okay. I can answer your question. Section 2 is a series of questions.
Section 2,
page 2. Once again, in the bold.
That doesn't strike me as a series of questions. Well, it says the cost-benefit analysis will include.
Right. So it is a series of questions, essentially, and the answer can be no. For example, if it were to be all legislation, the response could be, this legislation has no impact on budgeted positions, social services. It would take 16 seconds. So if it were really that broad, and I'm not sure that it is, mm-hmm. if it were really that broad, the cost-benefit analysis is some defined questions that can be answered no. I don't know that...
Going on what you're saying, I mean, using 161 as an example, and again, I just want to see this defined.
Let me just get to 161. Okay.
Using 161 as an example, and again, only because it's right here, if I'm hearing what Ken Cornell said correctly, we right now contract with independent home care for services for an amount that's determined by the state. We don't have to do that. We don't have to contract that. We could be doing it ourselves. So I would think that the way this is written right now, it would have to show us an analysis of why are we contracting with these people rather than keeping it in-house? Because this is about, in essence, a kind of privatization of services. I mean, that's sort of that's what I'm reading, the private services. And even the fact that we're having this debate says to me that we do have to just tighten the language and firm the... ideally before a public hearing. I mean, to me, I'd like when we go to a public hearing, I'd like it to be...
I'm just answering the question. I'm not saying whether or not we have to narrow it or don't. I'm just saying it's a series of questions that in simple legislation can be answered no. Case closed.
Right.
So I just wanted to answer that question. I wasn't getting any more complicated than that.
But not on the example she gave, you can't just just off the top of your head, without being, you know, a financial genius, you know, you're going to save money by the number of employees you don't have to hire, you don't have to give benefits, you don't have to give health insurance to, you don't have to give retirement benefits. So, I mean, that's just off the top of your head as a legislator. You would know that. You can make that calculation yourself. But I don't mind. You want to change the language so that most of them are comfortable with it.
All right. Be first.
Not a whole week.
Be first.
With all due respect to Legislative Council, this legislation is very broadly written. It doesn't take into consideration what the cost of doing the detailed analysis is that appears to be in this. legislation. For instance, the bulk of our contracts are in the Department of Social Services. I have one paralegal in my office. That's all she does is social services. That would impact that particular review. You talk about the environmental impacts. We have a very small department. We're the only county in the state of New York to have a Department of the Environment. And they are extremely busy, very, very small office. So that would. So I think you need to sit down and actually look at this legislation itself and define exactly what you need to do and then come up with a financial analysis of this legislation so that you know how it's going to impact you down the road. Are we going to need more staff to do what the intent is here? Are we going to need, you know, to provide more outside services to do what the intent is here?
Well, from what I'm hearing around the table, you know, I think no one's questioning the need of doing some kind of cost analysis of contracts. I think what I'm hearing is that the way this is set up and the way this is designed, there might be a different vehicle to use and different terminology to use to move forward. I don't know. A couple of people speak, Tracy and Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm hearing from John, and you're the sponsor. What I'm hearing from John and is that it's designed for these very. You highlighted some very specific examples where this would have been helpful, and if that's what we're shooting for, I think we just have to get the language of the resolution to apply to those very specific examples. Because with all due respect, in the kinds of examples that John's talking about, there has to have been a cost-benefit analysis. We only run into a problem when it applies to every resolution over $50,000. So I think it's just about getting the language of this law to jive, because I really like the idea of it, especially as it applies to those kinds of big changes where we really are going. And we saw one of those in the last term, toward the end of, and I know you were upset about it, but toward the end of session, where there wasn't a lot of discussion about it, and it went through. And that's, it's our own fault. That comes on us. But it would have been helpful to have seen that as part of
the standard backup. Hold on, I got two other people ahead of you. Chris first, then John, and then Chris. Then Ken, I'm sorry.
I like the premise behind the legislation. There's been a few times when I've been in public works where some of my fellow legislators, there had been no one in to discuss funding. A lot of times it had to do with funding that was being provided by the state or federal, so there wasn't a lot of county money involved. You know, it might have been 10 or 20% county money. So, but there was some complaints resonated from fellow legislators that, you know, no one was even there to explain. You know, we're voting on, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or more in certain instances. You know, a lot of money does go through public works. But I think we should look at this from the perspective of, is it pragmatic and feasible? And perhaps, like, for example, Ken brought up the issue that we have to hire new people to do this. Like, I've seen Legislator Paul McDonald brought up an estimate that there'd be 5,000 contracts that would fall into the category of over 50,000. I mean, I think we should calculate how many contracts fall within a certain monetary range, and we should calculate how many labor-intensive hours would have to go into developing a cost-benefit analysis. I mean, if there's 5,000 contracts and it's between half an hour to 3 hours to put this together, you know, you're talking about a lot of hours. I mean, the average work week in the United States is 2,000 hours, 50 work weeks times 40 hours a week. So if you were to calculate and say, gee, it's going to take us 8,000 hours to do this, then that would be 4 new people they would theoretically have to hire, you know. So I mean, maybe we should do like a range and calculate, well, so many contracts fall into this monetary category, like there's 2,000 contracts, county contracts, that are between, you know, under or just over 50,000, like 50,000 to 100,000, and then there's 3,000 that are above 100,000, and maybe the cap should be bumped up so that there would be, you know, only do a cost-benefit analysis for contracts over 100,000 or over 150,000, so that it would be something that we think could actually be feasible.
John, then Ken. John?
First of all, we're going to have to hire 2 or 3 or 4 people. It's the best red herring anybody can ever throw on the table. There's no proof of that. It's a supposition or something to to disqualify it. It seems to me that we wouldn't have be having this discussion if there wasn't a resolution that has merit in whole or in part. I'd like to see a public hearing where we can air out some of these things. I haven't been around here that long, but I have been around when there's corrections, there's additions, deletions, modifications to a resolution, and it proceeds. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid of that. But we wouldn't have be having this discussion if this wasn't on the table right now. And I don't want to get into the things that happened. Tracy mentioned one in particular. There was no justification for it. None whatsoever. And it was a simple thing. Oh, you should understand. Well, I don't understand sometimes. So all I want to do is try to get a public hearing and let people talk about it.
Ken?
Thanks, Rich, too. You know, first of all, I want to just, you know, put it right out there that our administration is extremely proud of the efforts we put forward to balance this budget in very tough economic times. And quite frankly, it's just not our administration. It's also this committee in particular. I have never refused a request for more information or to do anything that I can do to answer any question that comes before me. Carl, I mean, you've called me with some crazy questions. I do my best to always get an answer. I mean, I respond to everybody in the same way. I know that everyone in our administration prides themselves on that. This week, we got something very special delivered to the clerk of the legislature. It was a perfect financial audit by the state comptroller. I've been involved in county government across the state for 24 years. They don't give those out easily. In fact, I had never seen one until it made it to my desk. So we're doing something right here, and I think that, you know, any effort to thwart us, to put off tough decisions or not make tough decisions, I have to object to it. I think that we do a good job. I think we're on the cutting edge. We've got to stay on the cutting edge. I know that, you know, people question our transaction with mental health. Quite frankly, it's one of the proudest things I've worked on in my 24-year career in county service. You question our transaction with self-insurance. Bert Golnick and I worked with your budget consultants, and we're prepared. We had all the facts and figures. They didn't ask us one question about that transaction. We were surprised. Bert and I were prepared with reams of data, what it was going to benefit, how it was going to benefit the county, how it was going to benefit in the long term the towns and other participating local entities in that proposal. Not one question was asked by the legislature. So that's not our fault. We're available and we're prepared to answer questions. So, I want to congratulate the Ways and Means Committee for the work we've gotten done to date, and we look forward to doing more great work in the future. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Listen, we're not here to point fingers who's not doing a good job, who's not doing a bad job. What we're here is trying to do a better job overall, and that's the whole point here. You know, you took a little thunder away from me because I was going to recognize, especially Bert and his department, for the audit. They did actually send me, I don't know why they sent it to me, but they sent it to me, and they said Bert did a great job, and so forth and so on. So, yes, Bert should be commended, and your office and your whole, your staff there regarding that. But, Ken, you got to understand, this is not looking at, you know, crucifying anybody or asking them various things. This is to do, I think, you, in some way, when you do your evaluation, you do some kind of evaluation of is it good, is it bad, and why is it good and bad. And you come up with numbers one way or the other. You just don't come out of a hat and say, oh, we're going to do this now, we're going to do this now. There's a way that you go about making that decision, whatever that decision is. And I think what John is trying to get out of this is that when you did that work is automatically presented to the Ways and Means, or the legislative body, to make it a more intelligent evaluation.
It's very broadly drafted proposal. We don't do it with every contract.
I could not
tell you the economic impact on local business of practically everything that comes before the committee. I couldn't tell you the environmental impact of proposed contracts before the committee. Again, we don't have the ability to do it. We would need the staff to be able to.
But the premise is that you do it. Maybe not with every contract, but on contracts that have a major financial impact, you do some kind of evaluation. To what degree might be open for interpretation, correct? So you do some kind of evaluation to come up with a decision. Yeah. You just don't haphazardly say we're going to do it this way or that way.
Again, I mean, I listened to the chairman's comments that he had made during his speech.
But, okay,
his concern about was one contract. He didn't.
Okay, but
like,
disregard the one contract. Okay, but we're talking
this is
overall.
Too big a brush when
you
to deal with that
okay,
issue.
But when you make a decision based on making a determination to do either A or B, you do some background work or some, you know, legwork to see exactly what you're doing, what the cost benefit is, what the analysis is, and make a rational decision based on that. And I think that's what we're all looking for in one way. Maybe the resolution is not worded properly to everybody's standards. Maybe they have a different interpretation of the wording. But I think the whole intent, you do it anyway. So just give us the information.
I mean, if, again, if Kathy was saying you could just say N.A., I mean, equivalently.
No, no, I didn't say N.A., but you answered no.
No, or no. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what the economic impact on local businesses is of this contract before you relating to home care services. I couldn't tell you. I don't think anyone in this administration, any of our departments could answer that question.
All right. Well, Tracy and Jeanette.
Well, I was just going to make a suggestion to the sponsor. Can we, or can you take the week to deal address some of these wording issues? Because from my perspective, I'd prefer to wait to vote to...
Well, hold on. Before you go any further, Tracy, Jeanette, you want to add anything else before you go?
I have a question came to my mind because I've seen the sheriff standing in the doorway. How does this resolution affect, say, the sheriff's department and the county clerk's office?
They have to do it.
Are they responsible, or is the executive's office responsible?
Happy, how you write it,
if you could be a little more specific, responsible for what?
To give you a cost-benefit analysis. The sheriff does a lot of things that we get through resolutions. Should he be doing that?
If it's a contract for more than $50,000, I mean, how many...
But I don't know that it comes...
She says it's not coming from the county exec's office, it's coming from the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
So does the sheriff's department have to do it? The
DA, county clerk, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, hold on. Tracy, you hit the nail on the head. I think, first of all, this has to be vetted in government services anyway. But before that time, John, if you'd be willing to work with Kathy to get a more palatable resolution that everyone can feel, grasp, don't make it as extreme and grand as it could possibly be, I think all of us would probably entertain this next week.
Okay, may I say something?
Yes, you may.
We certainly would do that. But we have to know what all the objections are, and that's what you do in a public hearing.
Well, no.
I can work with Kathy.
First, before you go to a public
hearing.
John, before you go to a public hearing.
Yeah, a public hearing.
Before we go to a public hearing, we got to feel comfortable with what we're making to the public.
Right.
The committee.
So work with Kathy within this next week. Bring it to us next week, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. I mean, I think you're on the right road. Everyone feels comfortable with your idea.
Sure.
It's just how to get there.
Okay.
Everybody agreed to that?
Yeah.
Everybody agreed to that? Tracy?
Yeah.
Mary Beth, you agree to it?
I would like to see something compromised between the legislature and all the offices that the information would be requested from, because I do believe we do something to save money. There is a cost benefit. But I don't want anybody hired to do this. I'm not for that at all.
No, I don't think anyone
has
that.
Well, there was hours getting added up, and how many people? I'm not for that.
All right. Kathy, can you work with whoever you have to work with?
Absolutely.
If it's the county exec's office, or if it's any other office, the county clerk's office, the sheriff's office, to make it more palatable for everybody?
Yes.
All right. Yes, sir.
Does this apply to all contracts over $50,000?
That's the whole thing. Yes, it does right now.
Because there's a lot of contracts the county enters into that are 100% reimbursed by the federal government and state government. Are we going to do a cost-benefit ratio for those and possibly lose funding? Or
I don't think that's the intent of this resolution, is it, Kathy?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
He said federal money's come in there more than $50,000. You want to do a cost-benefit of that? I don't think, John, that was your intent either. So they're going to word it so that those things are going to be excluded.
Because there are a lot of contracts.
We're going to work on this. Are a number of resolutions that I've gone back over that said we're going to do something, and 6 months or a year later we have to put another resolution in for funding for additional lights or something. It should have been done in the first place.
All right. So you got to work on it, bring it back next week. Absolutely. In the meantime, make sure it goes to government services, too. Tracy?
And I would also add that in the meantime, I mean, anyone who's here or who after comes out of caucuses, if people have specific concerns, questions, to direct them to John and Kathy or John.
I'm here a lot, so that
everybody's comments can be heard.
I would just add, as a last comment from myself, I think legislators need to take some responsibility, too. All these things either go through a committee or come here through Ways and Means. And if you're not happy with the resolution or you're not happy with the what's being projected or suggested, that's the time you speak up. You know, we had quite a conversation. And, Carl, I thought you were there when we did Golden Hill. We had a year and a half of conversation with detail after detail. It boiled down to whether you thought privatization was a good thing or not. Most of the legislators thought it was a good thing. And you know what? Let me tell you something right now. Put it on a record. I was on that committee for over a year.
Half of the deliberations were behind our back.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, please. One at a time. Your dad has the floor, Carl. Hold on.
Excuse me. Very rude and impolite. I don't interrupt
Jeanette, stay with you. what you're talking about.
I even my own caucus, not once, one time, and I was prepared, did anybody care or ask for a report. Not once.
That's not true, Jeanette. I mean, we were informed
from
JJ. I was very much informed of the progress that was going on.
Well, I was talking about myself.
Okay. But you said no legislator had questions
or... I said ex me. Okay. I was on the LGC.
I know you were.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say, you know, first of all, I foiled documents from the county attorney's office and the county executive's office before we even knew that there was an LDC. And in that foil was the LDC document. So how can you tell me that it was an open thing, that we knew everything about it? This deal was done before we knew about it. It was already in the budget. Yes, it was.
The
Don't
legislature
tell me
had a vote on it.
Hold on. Let's stay. Hold on. Time out. Jeanette.
Please, you can't have statements like that.
We are going to stay with the subject at hand. That's not at hand right now, so we're not even going to entertain that. Jeanette, Carl.
I wasn't there.
Okay, that was in the past. We can't change the past. We already made a decision as a legislative body. We sold it. We don't own it anymore. We want to buy it back. We can maybe approach the private firm and buy it back, but I don't think that's our intent. All right, we're going to our next resolution.
And we're doing with this one.
We are motion to postpone.
I move to postpone
until more wording.
Next week.
I second that.
Any discussion on that? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm a pain in the butt, but it is what it is.
You're actually right.
You said that politely.
Yes, I did.
161, approving the execution of contracts excess to $50,000 entered by county independent home care.
Are we 160?
Yeah, 160.
No, I'm sorry. Well, let's do 161. I read it already. Move.
I'll move it.
Okay, well, second. Here's one that's 50-50.
We got a cost analysis. It's going to save you money.
The answer is I do not have a cost analysis.
Yes. Well, there should be.
Second. You had who moved it?
No.
After you moved and Jeanette seconded, correct? All right. Discussion. Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
160. Setting a public hearing on Local Law 4, adopting Local Law Number 2, Ulster County amending Local Law 10 of 208 to update the term of members of Environmental Management Council to be held on Tuesday, June 17th, 7:05. That'll be 7 o'clock, correct? Because we don't have the other.
You amended it. 7:05.
I understand, but right now the other one's not on the schedule. So why don't you have it at 7, and you have the other one 7:05.
Are you voting next week? You don't know yet.
Well, we probably most likely yes, but right now we're not.
Keep it.
All right. That 5 minutes is very critical.
Bartels.
I know.
Moved by Bartels, seconded by.
Discussion. Now all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
162.
163. Oh, my God.
I will move it for discussion.
Are you okay? You moved it. Insurance recovery for repairs of Ulster County Area Transit. UCAP. Move.
Oh, wait. Which one are you on?
163.
What happened to 162?
There isn't one.
You don't have committee. It. You don't have it.
So that's the one I wanted to discuss. It's the only reason why I came.
Go to that committee and discuss it.
I'll stay after for a discussion.
Okay.
We'll discuss.
Which one?
But it's got financial. You're got
gonna,
an amount.
You're going to talk about that at the end.
Right, because that's what I want to move it for discussion.
Yeah, it's
at the end of the agenda.
It's at the end of the agenda.
We said that before you came in.
Decide if you wanted.
Mary Beth, before you came into the meeting, we said that.
So is somebody moving 163?
He didn't discuss it. Legislator Mayo. It wasn't. Legislator Ferentino.
Okay, I'll move 163 then, just to keep it.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion?
Nope.
Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
165, authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Housing Trust Fund.
I'll move it. For CDBG.
Are we talking
about
that?
Yeah, CDBG, okay, this is for it. Housing. They're usually administered through REPCO.
Oh, I think it's a good idea.
I got it.
Rodriguez seconded by.
Probably. Yes. Who moved it?
Rodriguez and Mayo.
Discussion. I got to abstain from voting. I have the financial deal.
Yes, you do,
Mr.
Chair. So we have to put it over until next month, unless.
Well, John can vote. John, you like to vote on this resolution? I cannot vote on this resolution.
Well, let me look at it.
All right, please do. Make it quick, though.
What's your reason why? I'm sorry.
We have
five people.
Yeah, you have a call.
If you have enough, you got Hector and Carrie. That's not true. That's right. Mayo and Rodriguez are going to have
I mean, we're here. One, two, three, five, four. Oh, John.
Five.
Oh, we have five.
You have five.
Yeah, we have five. We have five.
Six with Richie.
Five.
Six.
Richard Jarantine
doesn't vote, right?
One, two, three.
You got five.
We have five.
You have to look at the rules of order as far as John's counting.
But without John, we have five votes.
And if Richard doesn't vote,
without Richard and John, no, we have five.
Oh.
We have Bevilio, Mayo, Rodriguez, Provenzano,
Chairman,
and Bartek.
Hector, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, at least my last reading, we have eight members on this committee, which means you need five votes in order to actually pass something. The last time I checked, even with one abstention, we have five. Yes, however, because Mr. Maloney is not here and neither is Mr. Briggs, the last time I checked, again, I could be wrong, and I apologize.
You're not. You're right. Don't waste any more energy.
There you go.
All right,
so let's vote. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All in favor?
Aye.
One abstention. One abstain.
And one abstention.
165. That we did that. 66. Authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute contract New York State Division of State for funding a
I'll move it.
Dual brownstone fields. Second. Discussion. Roll call. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
167. Approving New York State Office of Children and Family Services allocation plan. Youth Bureau. Move.
I'll move it.
Second.
Oh, 168.
167.
Seven. Sorry, my apologies.
Second by Mary Beth.
Mary Beth,
any discussion? Roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
168. Authorize the chairman.
I'll move it.
All right.
168. So, Sophie Finn.
What's that?
I'm here if anybody wants to know anything.
So,
who moved it? Who seconded it?
I moved it. Jeanette seconded it.
All right. Discussion. B says she's here if anyone has any questions. If not, roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
169. Authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute the lease with the Ulster County Banks for Space. Board of Elections. $9 a square foot. Moved by. Moved by.
So we're just doing what we normally do?
No increase.
How long have we
There's no increase.
Tracy,
second by Mary Beth. This is just a continuation, right, Bert?
Yeah, same annual cost that we've been paying.
How long have we been there? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I don't know.
How bad?
Yeah.
Before my time.
Yeah, I'd have to look.
Since Sherlock's closed.
Yeah, we.
Everything's been before your time. What are you talking about?
Good answer.
Prior to us being on Wall Street, we used to be over in information
services.
Services
a long,
so that was a long time.
That was a long time ago.
Pre 2006.
Yeah.
All right. These are before 2006.
Oh yeah, no, but it was even before then, though.
Yeah.
All right, any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
170, Stanley Shet Capital Project 410, reconstruction of various roads. Public Works, bond will be acquired.
We need an amendment.
On 70, yes. We got the...
Moved and seconded by whom?
I moved.
We got an amendment that everyone has a copy of.
What is it?
Seeker resolution.
We passed it around.
We passed it around. Everybody has a special...
I'm sure it's no road in Kingston.
174.
And that's what we're going to do.
It's a secret part of it. It needs to be in there, especially for bonding.
And there's no action really taken. Just that you
know.
Yeah, it's type two.
All right, let's go. Someone move it, please. Someone move it.
It was moved by Provenzano, seconded by me.
All right, on the amendment.
Okay.
Someone move the amendment. Come on, please.
Can I have bicarbonate and I'll help the towns out?
All right. Second, who seconded the amendment?
You came in after it was...
The amendment seconded by
somebody.
Hector.
What is the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The secret. What's your question?
Hold on. The amendment is for the secret process. You need it for bonding.
What was your question, Mr. Chairman?
The question was you seconded.
I don't believe I did. But
yes,
if you would like me to,
I would like you. To.
Then in that case, Mr. Chairman, I'll second it.
Thank you very much.
But don't assume that I will.
Hector, I can count on you, can't I?
Eh.
Oh, okay. Jeanette.
Where's Watson Hollow?
We're stumped over here, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we're stumped on that.
They'll get you the answer.
They'll get me that?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask a
question? Yes, Tracy.
Are these roads, how are the roads determined? I see that it's based on, that they're, on the bottom it says that they're, what are industry standards, but do we have like a, some kind of list where they come up automatically, or are we choosing...
Ken? Sue, you want to?
We'll follow up with that. Yeah.
They will follow up. I'm sure, based on recommendation of the highway engineers, when the last time they were done, so forth and so on. But, I mean, they'll get you that information.
Okay.
Any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
172. Stadley Capital Projects, number 411, 412.
What's that? I don't know.
Where are we? I'm sorry.
172.
172. 280.
They're bonds. All right. 176. We're still going to move? I'm sorry. All right. Mary Beth, moved it. Thank you, Mary Beth. Second, Carl?
I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
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 176. Authorize the conveyance of county-owned property to the original owner, Department of Finance.
Owner,
yeah,
move it.
These
are the ones who bought back before we went to auction, Rich.
Yep. You hear what Bert said? These are the ones that were bought back before they went to auction.
Yeah. They were the original owner?
Very nice.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Good.
All righty.
That's a lot of properties.
We were busy.
Yeah.
Any discussion?
One to put that.
Bert, how much was that? You know off the top of your head?
It's the last, it's $899,905 in back taxes. It's on the last page.
There it is, yep. All right. No discussion. All in favor, say aye. 177. Authorize the chairman of Ulster County to convey two parcels of county-owned property pursuant to Article 11, real property for unpaid taxes, Department of Finance. Move. Buy. Going once. Going twice.
But when are we on?
Trying to figure
177.
I need somebody to speak.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I got
unpaid taxes. Okay. So we're getting the money.
Did you move it? Did anybody move it?
You did.
You just did, Jeanette.
Yeah,
what
well.
174?
We're selling this to Sawyer.
Oh, that's what you're talking about?
Thank you. Good piece of
all right, who moved it? Second?
I moved.
Any discussion? Does anyone want to know if B has comments on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
So, this was a parcel property that taxes weren't paid on it. It was assessed at the town level as vacant land. Title company went on the assessment records, checked the records in the county clerk's office, found nothing in there that was unusual. Lo and behold, thank goodness for our legislative counsel here, Erica Guerin, she got a call from someone in the town of Saugerties, and it was discovered that this parcel of property had a well that was servicing a number of residences in a development.
Bluestone Park.
So we've been in discussions with the town of Saugerties about this. The owner never charged a fee for the water. These 31 parcels were getting their water for free for many, many years.
Wow.
The county does not want to be in the business of having to operate a well. So we could have put it out to public bid. At that point, we knew a couple of days before, fortunately. It was a Friday we found out. Mm-hmm. And there was some discussions with the town of Saugerties and their officials and the clerk and also the town attorney.
Supervisor Cole.
And the town is interested in acquiring it. Obviously, if we had auctioned it off, anyone could have bought it, could have come in, and could have charged astronomical prices for whatever they wanted
or
for the water,
or
not provided the water. In the meantime, it's ours, so we're making sure that we maintain the public health issues and the issues that go with the testing and the monitoring and everything else that comes with the public water service, which it is, okay? So the town of Saugerties is in the process of passing a resolution to take it over. Their plan is that they're going to create a district, but they will operate and maintain it until they get to that point. The only thing we've asked the town of Saugerties to pay for are the back taxes associated with the town's back taxes and not the school taxes that are the back taxes that are due on this. So that's where the number 3,900 and change comes up under page the first resolves. That's how we came to that number.
The school back taxes,
there's two parcels. So if you look at the school back taxes for parcel 162 are $44,212.26, and for parcel number 3, $6,160.75.
Is this school inclusive or the week?
We've already made
everyone whole at this point. So
the county's contributing that.
Well, the county's
has contributed that.
Yes.
Not seeking reimbursement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So who paid for the operation of the well and electricity
the
and everything?
The owner of those two parcels.
This is
one of those old deals, you know, where somebody come in, take a big piece of land, and they cut it up and develop it, and they put houses on there, and they supply municipal water. It's not municipal. It's public water. It's a public water system. And for years and years, they just maintained it. There were no issues with the health department. They seemed to do a very good job at it.
And but they paid all that time?
And apparently the owner is deceased. What happened was the owner is deceased. He was elderly. And you know, like many younger, us of the younger generation, the family didn't realize that the taxes weren't being paid, and they weren't being paid, and they finally decided to let it go for auction.
Yeah, I think the estate
So here we are. So this is the resolution that we've managed to come up with. And again, Erica was a blessing here. She picked it up, and we wouldn't have known about it had she not. She got a call from a constituent or a
former tenant.
Okay.
That's why we hire you, Erica.
That's right. That's why you get the big bucks.
Yeah. All right. Any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
178. Authorize the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to enter an agreement with the Soharie County to provide micrographic services and for microfilm processing. Duplication County Clerk.
Move it.
Discussion? Second? Second?
I'll second. I was going to give Carl a chance to second.
Wow.
Legislator Archer?
Why would you ever give me a chance to speak?
Excuse me? I noticed you kind of had a question on this issue.
Yeah.
I do. Why are we still doing micro? Why aren't we using cloud? We have so many new technology, and this is an expense.
This is another county contracting with us to provide the service for them.
For them.
This is a revenue. We're making money on this one.
Tracy?
I had a couple questions. I mean, the first was, why is there, they're going to seem like disconnected questions, I realize, but why is there a shall not exceed number?
That's as much as the the county that we're contracting with wants
to pay.
Also, to answer your question, again, it's a better question for the county clerk who handles the records for the county, but microfiche is a permanent record. You can, an electronic file isn't necessarily a permanent record, so there are laws. In fact, I know she spoke to me this week about some issues, and she'll be bringing to the legislature in early fall a records management policy that deals with some of those issues. But there are very good reasons why we use microfiche. It's not as simple as saying that file or other kind of issues.
Okay, so and then my follow-on questions were, and I guess they're gonna be for the clerk, so I'll put them out there and I'll call her. But so when I saw this, I had the same. I mean, I was like, oh wow, microfiche. I realized it was for us, but then I just Googled this Diazo duplicate film rolls, and so I was curious. First of all, what kind of film rolls, 16 or 35, and then these prices that we're getting. You can't even get close to these prices. This is like 1/5 of the going rate you can find online. So I'm just curious if we really are making money. Like, again, it wouldn't be something we do a cost benefit analysis about. But I mean, our people for a $4,500.
I was just told that we've been providing these services for many years in the past. Yeah. And the question becomes: yes, is it profitable, non-profitable? I don't know the answer.
And I'm not kidding when I say I'd say to anyone: just Google Diazo duplicate roll of film, and you know, per image, additional rolls. I mean, I saw prices 5 times this. For a role of duplicate. So I don't know if we're just perpetuating an agreement that existed or it's a great deal. It's only $4,500, but it is something to consider. So I definitely would want to talk.
You want to look into that?
Can we get an answer by next week?
We'll have an answer, yes. And when you do it, please send it out to the committee.
Yeah. Like how long does the role last? I mean, a role could last a year or two of, you know.
I can speak on because I do have some microfiche in terms of back tax things. It lasts for
forever.
A long time because there's some things they're not able to digitize because the document's so old.
But no, I meant like the footage. So, you know,
I have documents that on the microfiche that roll has lasted a long time.
It's a permanent record.
Versus
I understand that. I read one of those. But when you think about it, though, right?
We'll find out the answers. All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. 179, authorizing the County Commissioner of Finance to refund purchase price of parcel of real property sold at auction, Department of Finance.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions for Bert? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
180.
All right.
Authorize the Chairman of Ulster County Legislature to convey 2 parcels of county-owned property by the Lower Sulphur River Watch to the County of Rosedale, Department of Finance. Move first.
Yay, B.
Move first.
Yeah.
I'll move it first.
Actually, I would like, I'll move it.
You got to fight Mary Beth.
I will actually on this one.
Okay, I'll second it.
Oh, Mary Beth, you're so nice to Hector.
I appreciate it.
As long as
thank
I get
you.
To adjourn.
Yeah, all you.
Right now?
In the memory of Wayne, in the tradition of Wayne Harris, yes, you can adjourn.
Right now, Mary Beth?
I'm still waiting for my $750,000 contract to come up.
All right. Anyway. Any discussion? Do you want to say anything?
This property is going to the town of Rosendale.
Yep.
Property that we acquired from the Lower Sulphur River Watch, pursuant to a court order, was sold by the Commissioner of Finance, acting only as a referee and the seller of the property, pursuant to a Supreme Court order. At the end of the auction, we had surplus property that nobody bid on. These 2 parcels of property are important to the town of Rosendale. They have one of them would be assisted. I think Manna could also talk to this if you ask her, but one of them would be used to assist them in their drainage issues in the former village. And the other one is a property that's known as Burn Swamp, which has some environmental factors, and they want the park. So we couldn't sell it at auction, and we clearly don't want to be in the real estate business. So
just let me know.
We've done this before, the town of Ulster. We've done it with the town of Lloyd and the town of Marbletown, I also believe. So, Frank, fortunately, the town of Rosendale wants this piece of property, and this would facilitate it.
Hector?
It continues to close a chapter in Ulster County history, so I'm
very... We have one parcel left.
Yeah, I know. We're moving closer, but we're moving closer towards ending this.
All right, any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
181, setting a public hearing as required under Article 225AA of Agricultural Markets. Additional limit.
I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
I'll cut you off there.
Any discussion? Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
186, late resolution.
Finally.
182, hold on, I'm sorry, 182. Didn't we just do it?
181.
We just did 181. All right. All right.
No. Oh, who did 182?
I moved 182.
We didn't do 181, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Setting public.
Okay.
You did 181, you didn't do 182.
Right.
No, we did 182 because I remember 25AA.
He actually started reading it and then I said, I'll move it. So we skipped 181.
Did we do 181?
We have not,
no.
Okay. 181, setting a public hearing on a sale of transfer of 300 Flatbush Drive on approximately 7.53 acres.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, 186, a late resolution. Approving the execution of contracts in the excess of $50,000 entered by the county, Drescher and Maliki, LLP, legislative body. Moved.
Oh, this is the whole.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
This was done through the audit committee. We actually interviewed six bids or RFPs.
Yeah,
we came in. Very open-minded, right, Jeanette?
Yeah.
Very open-minded.
Sir, absolutely.
Right, Tracy?
Yes. Good job.
And we were able to negotiate the contract at a lesser price.
We have the exact figures.
We have the exact figures that are for $195,000 for... What's that? It's 60. It's $65,000 a year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. If my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah.
65 a year for 3 years.
Yep. All right, and it was unanimous. So we are recommending, the audit committee recommending it with, it's a 3-year contract with a yearly approval each year, and then a 2-year after that with a year. All right.
I'm not asking you. I'm listening.
All right.
I've got to go to contract management.
Has not been to contract manager yet?
I don't think I've seen it.
Why are we interested?
Well, that's a, you have, Eric has it in a
she
very
does?
Draft form,
okay.
Because we wanted to give it to you so that you had seen it. So I think Eric has it.
All right.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I just want to compliment the audit committee on the work and the price that the committee secured is very, very inexpensive compared to a normal audit. I mean, $65,000 a year locked in over 5 years is much lower than.
Well, they came in with a lower price. We brought it up a little bit. Though.
Again, it's a good price.
Did you say locked in over 5 years?
Well, 3 years, two, and then two
options.
Oh, okay. In that case, then.
Unless they ask questions, yeah, 2 or 3 minutes will be done. Go ahead.
I guess it wasn't so bad at all how it all turned out.
I think everybody's happy with it.
Okay.
All right?
Well,
you don't have a resolution?
Susie, it's in the packet. I think he says that Erica sent it to Eric. If not, we'll get it. And
all right. Resolution 185, we overlooked that. Establish a financial records access policy. Move. Bye. Second?
I'll second.
Carl, discussion?
What number is it? I'm
185.
185.
No discussion?
No, it makes sense. What I'm reading is the legislature, we do make routine financial decisions, and we should be able to kind of take a look at the, you know, have some access, if not us, the clerk or whoever, you know.
Yeah, right, Mr. Chairman, I mean, these are reports that we routinely provide to the clerk of the legislature on a monthly basis, so it makes no difference to us whether you access these reports yourself or not. So we'll stop printing the reports and sending them and let your staff take care of that function for us. So you can fine with us.
Victoria, do you hear that?
Those are my friends over there.
You have friends?
I do.
Oh, okay. I was a little surprised.
She's had a big Thanksgiving dinner. Lots of friends. Right.
Tracy.
I just want to clarify, if you're going to stop printing reports, can you at least provide
the clerk with a list of what reports you print.
I can work with
them. They've been in discussion, Tracy.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
At Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure you'll do a great job.
All right, any other discussion? If not, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
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 162, approving the execution of contracts of $50,000 in Entebbe County. DRA, DBA, Newcastle. Department of Information Services.
I move it for discussion. Is it my turn?
Yeah. Did somebody second that?
Yes.
Thank you, Tracy.
I would have done that for you. She beat me.
We had nobody in economic development, so I couldn't go forward with it. So I would appreciate some sort of, because I'm looking at the dates, and it's 100% county, and I'm just not sure what it all means, and then I don't even know what 174 means on top of it.
Well, I think, I mean, it might be more appropriate to ask Alan Panzer from the Division of Information Services to speak on the contract.
Okay.
This is to change our current phone system to use the phone system through the internet that we already have in place and cancel the Verizon lines that we have coming into the county.
So what's the difference in offset? Is there any offset?
Yes, there's a savings.
Hold on, please.
There's a amendment.
$90,000 annually in terms of the savings.
$90,000 savings?
Yes.
I know. I could add that. I was recently over to the Emergency Operations Center over in the Long Beach Center, and the phones that were going to be purchasing for the system, they already have in use in that center there.
Okay.
And, it's night and day versus the current phone system here. Each department's going to have a on-demand conference call function, so you can do a conference call with 60 people on demand. Again, the functionality is so much greater than what we currently have. So I know from a kind of a functional basis.
And we're saving money.
Yes. Just to point out, this is, I know Tracy, you asked, does this relate to 174? It does.
Yes.
They're one and the same.
Yeah.
And the reason why
they have different numbers. Then?
They do, because there's some things I cannot bond for.
Okay.
And that's why the bonding resolution is just for hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So then
Ken, hold on.
I can't bond for training costs and service costs. That's the difference.
I use BOIP and have to use. I'm very happy with it for my business needs. But Verizon lines always work even when there's a power failure. Are you going to have sufficient backup to cover everything you need? If the power goes out, the communications will still work?
The answer to the question is yes. We are providing some IntelliPath lines still, some for fax machines, and some for the emergency operations center in every department will have. At least one or two, depending on their staff and what their function is, and stay with Verizon lines. And that's already configured into the proposal.
The emergency ones will stay with Verizon?
Yes.
Okay, for the rest of them,
How long
will they work without power?
Excuse me?
How long will the other lines, non-Verizon lines that are on VOIP, work without having power?
Where are we talking about the power failure through the whole county?
Well, conceivably. What the key thing is, how's it backed up? And I know there are power backups that work for short periods of time, 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. If there's a social service office that might be getting emergency calls of a different type that could be forwarded through VOIP systems to elsewhere so they could be covered, how is all this going to work, ensuring that there's enough backup power so that certain lines beyond the absolute emergency ones will continue to be covered?
You asked a number of questions in there. I'll answer this way. There are backup lines. There's SIP trunks and PRIs that we're going to have to back up each other. There's going to be servers that back up each other. But I can't speak for Verizon themselves, because some of these lines are PRIs and SIP trunks come from Verizon. If they have a power failure, you're not going to have a line no matter what you do.
No, you can't do anything with that. Right. But you can do it when you're doing when you're working over the internet, mm-hmm. rather than a Verizon landline, it changes the picture somewhat.
The landlines will still function because they don't use power that we have here. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I understand the landlines right. will function. Talk about the others.
Yeah. They're not going to function. Depends on where the power failure is. If it's at Verizon, I can't do anything about it. You're not gonna have any phone service.
Understood.
Right. If it's at a location here, you're going to have sufficient backup throughout the county to back up that department as far as lines go, as far as power goes. I mean, I'm going to take that back. Now power. The phones go. And to use our internal network.
I was going to say, if the county's down for power for an extreme time, emergency situation, we'd have the emergency, the EOC set up where he has mentioned the landlines would be operating.
So can those automatically forward to certain key lines?
Yes. The EOC question is yes.
So that's all part of a plan that was mm-hmm. put together on it.
That's correct.
So is that mostly going to be at South Manor, or is it going to be in every building?
Every building.
All right, so you're going to have separate
every
system
major building,
in
every building.
Right, separate system in every building, separate hardware. I'm not talking about phones. I'm talking about the switches and the servers. Or is that just going to be at South Manor Avenue?
No, there could be certain locations. One is at the Law Enforcement Center. There is one at South Manor. There's one at the County Office Building.
Interesting.
I don't remember. I think the other one's at DSS, but I don't remember.
Mary Beth.
So 162 is for the 752,000 plus, and then 174 is for 671,900 plus. With those two combined, we're saving money.
No. The seven, the contract that's in front of you,
750.
That is the total of the contract. Of that, the 690,000 is what I'm able to bond with.
Okay.
It's not $1.3 million.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not it.
Or 1.4. Right. Yeah. Tracy. Total seven.
But you had to break it up because it had to be bonded.
Correct. Tracy.
So of the seven, I'm good. Just, I mean, I'm happy to see that it came in so much under what was estimated in the capital program. But is there a reason it was such a discrepancy from the? I mean, the estimate in the capital program was $1.2 million.
We're using some of the service that we already put in at the EOC that was paid for by a grant. We're able to take advantage of that equipment. That's why we went with the same vendor. We're using the same equipment. So even those lines that they're using there, in the case of emergency, if it's not EOC center is not active, we could use them throughout the county.
I mean, I'm very happy about it. I'm just curious how we, you know, look at estimates in the capital program.
Again, we were able to leverage something like security.
Right.
and I read the contract.
Yeah, and it did go through the state system in terms of the contract. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's cheaper than what the capital program is.
You're piggybacking on the state contract.
Right.
Also.
Yeah. Right. There you go. Any other questions? If not,
please. Motion to adjourn.
No. And we have one more. All in favor, say aye.
No,
aye.
Wait, technical
aye. 174, yes.
There you go.
Got gotcha, you, right?
Damn.
All right, 174 is establishing capital project 413 voice over IP phone lines. Implementation Department of Information Services. Move first. Move it. Second. All right, we have to change on the second page where it says computer equipment. The amount of $598,481 should be $423,482.
We trust you.
It adds up to that $671,959.
See that? Moved by who?
Me, yeah.
Jeanette, second by Mary Beth.
Yes.
Any discussion? Roll call on the resolution first. On the amendment first. Yes.
Aye.
Any other discussion? Well, on the resolution with the amendment. Yes.
Aye.
No, you're moving it first.
We did that.
But we moved. Well, you had to have moved the resolution and then move the amendment.
Yeah, but now you got to move them both together.
Oh my God.
No, you move them first and then you vote on them. So you vote on the amendment first and then you vote on the full resolution.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Time, Rich. Come on, you know.
I just want to make it longer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Don's waiting to get the table here.
Yeah, I think you're really enjoying yourself.
Ah, I believe I wouldn't be no other place but here. Mary Beth, it's your time.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Yay.
Wait, before you can do that, Mary Beth.
I need a second.
Anybody have anything else?
You guys second.
If not,
we get.
Mary Beth, now is the time.
No, Carl
did. Carl got you.
Second by Carl. All in favor say aye. Thank you very much.
Thank
aye.
You.
Thanks. Make sure you go to caucus.
One. I can't drink this anymore.
25 grams of sugar.
You want diet?
No, maybe
we'll
just
we'll
on the meeting.
Babe, you're being paid.
It's adjourned at 6:37, but I didn't write that down.
Hey, Hector,
you
know what's a better option?